open your pew Bible this morning to Leviticus chapter 18. How many of you last week looked ahead and thought, boy, what are we going to do with this? We're going to preach it, right? It's in the Bible. It's not an easy topic to talk about. And so, but we're not going to back down. We're not going to get scared of the Word of God and what He tells us and how we should live and what that looks like in our lives. And so many churches today would probably rather skip over this chapter. And that's the problem, I think, that we have in our society today, is that people need to hear this truth, and they need to apply it to our lives and what that looks like. And so we're going to dig right into it, and it will be appropriate for those that are sitting in your congregation today. Like I've told you, though, you got an email this week that if your kids ask you questions about some of these things, make sure that you visit with them about them. Make sure they know the truth, where it comes from, how they should live. And put it on their terms, though. Make sure that you talk to them and things that they can understand, but also things that they're prepared to hear in their lives. And so, and as they grow older, you will have many more conversations in our house. Dory and I have been talking about this for many years. This is not new to our three boys, but it might be new to some of you. But God says, this is my command. This is how I want you to live holy lives. These are the things you must not do. And so we'll dig into this morning. So follow along with me in your Bible this morning. The topic of this chapter is unlawful sexual relations. Now also remember that there was men had multiple wives back then. And so you'll see a lot with stepmother or sister that lives with the mother and so on. And so there can be variations here. So keep that in mind when you hear that this morning. We're Old Testament. And so it was common for a man to have more than one wife or a concubine or a slave and have children with those different wives. And so remember that context. And so, but we'll also tie that into the New Testament a little bit when you hear the message this morning. You know, polygamy is no longer practiced. Timothy says that you shall be a man of but one wife is what the New Testament preaches. And so those days are gone. But when this is written, it was for those times. So let's listen to what the Lord speaks to us today. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. So from this little bit, you can assume already that these things are already going on in the land, where they've come from and where they're going. These practices are happening already. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. No one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord. Do not dishonor your father by having sexual relations with your mother. She is your mother. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. That would dishonor your father. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. Do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. Do not have sexual relations with the daughter of your father's wife, born to your father. She is your sister. Do not have sexual relations with your father's sister. She is your father's close relative. Do not have sexual relations with your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. Do not dishonor your father's brother by approaching his wife to have sexual relations. She is your aunt. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother. Do not have sexual relations with both a woman and her daughter. not have sexual relations with either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are her close relatives. That is wickedness. Do not take your wife's sister as a rival wife and have sexual relations with her while your wife is living. Do not approach a woman to have sexual relations during the uncleanness of her monthly period. Do not have sexual relations with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Now notice this verse comes out of nowhere. So we will talk about this verse in a few chapters down the road. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was so defiled, so I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you must keep my decrees and my laws. The native-born and the aliens live among you must not do any of these detestable things. For all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Everyone who does any of these detestable things, such persons must be cut off from their people. Keep my requirements and do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came, and do not defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we enter into Leviticus 18, may your Spirit give us great wisdom this morning. Lord, may your words be clear and speak to us in a way that, Lord, just waken our souls of how we live and what we should be like as Christians in the world we live in today. Lord, may your Holy Spirit fill me, and Lord, may these words be your words today. And I pray as those words leave my mouth and they resonate with those that have gathered here, Lord, your chosen, your church. Lord, may that same Spirit just awaken their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your message today. In Jesus I pray, amen. How does the topic of church intimacy go together? Quite a topic, isn't it? Why should a pastor give a message about sexual intimacy over the pulpit? What is that about? Because God is the creator of intimacy. The sinful world that we live in has perverted intimacy in so many ways. In so many ways that I can rattle off a list for quite some time of what our world has done with those types of relationships that we live with today. The reason we speak of it today is because God calls us to holiness in all areas of our lives, including intimacy. We are to be holy. We are to live holy lives. Now, our culture today believes that people can violate God's moral standards and escape the consequences. I truly believe that. Most people think that, oh, it's no big deal. I'll go to heaven. It's not an issue. Even people in the church, I think, believe this today, that they can get by with these things and there will be no consequence for them in the end. But as the people of God, we must realize that God is the authority of all intimate relationships from beginning to end. He's involved. And as the people of God, we must take note. We are created in His image. And the gift of intimacy is given to those who are in a marriage relationship between a man and a woman. That's what Scripture teaches. In those confines, any sexual relationship outside of marriage is strictly forbidden. Any. A Christian marriage should also be a witness to the world of how you and I live, how we present ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, the kind of lifestyle as Christians that we should portray. But not only that, but deep inside us, we should be living within our own souls so the rest of the world can see what this should look like. And so we are called to practice holiness in the area of sexuality as well. That's our job as human beings. And since God created intimacy and he ordained marriage, he has every right to establish the regulations that control it. More or less, God gets to make the rules. You and I don't get to make those rules. We are not the inventor or the creator of intimate relationships. Only God is. Leviticus 18 is a partial list of rules that pertain to intimacy. Now, we have other laws spelled out throughout Scripture that we can find that relate to how we should live. And I mentioned one early on in Timothy. You can find the one that a man should be married to but one wife. You know, polygamy is a thing of the past. And we can find New Testament Scriptures that talk about that you shall not live in a homosexual relationship, that that's forbidden and sinful and so on. You shall not have sex outside of marriage. You can find those laws in New Testament as well. That's forbidden. Pre-marital sex is forbidden. We can find all of that in old and new. And it's backed up. It's not just an Old Testament thing. You can't say, well, this is how they used to live. That doesn't fit us anymore. That is a lie that Satan is trying to get you to believe. Young people, listen closely today, because I'm going to kind of pick on you a little bit, and I'm going to push back on you a little bit today. But how are you living? Let's talk about the culture that the Israelites lived in. They were removed from captivity out of Egypt. You get that and you understand that. But God's now pointing them towards the land of Canaan, the promised land. In verse 3, if you have your scripture open this morning, it says that these abominations are going on in Egypt. They're going to go on in Canaan. It's already happening. Prepare yourself for these things. And I'm sure that the Israelites, the Jews, are probably falling off and falling away and entering into these types of relationships that were forbidden for them. So God talks to them in Leviticus. He gives them the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a pretty wide commandment where these things that I'm talking about this morning, they fall under. It's there. It's that teaching. And all of these people, those who were living in pagan Egypt and pagan Canaan, they lived outside the standards of God. You know, you think about it, the ancient people were just as adept to sexual promiscuity and variation as we are today. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything was allowed. Everything was performed in those pagan lands. Even the sacrifice of their children in verse 20, which I mentioned earlier. And we'll dig into that later down the road. But it seems today that the culture that we live in is no different. It's kind of gone off the rails, in my opinion. The bottom line is this. Here's the one thing that you need to take home today. And I could say, you know, young people, listen closely. But also older people, listen closely to what I'm going to say. Any kind of intimate relationship outside of the marriage covenant is strictly forbidden by God. You shall not live with your girlfriend or boyfriend. That's what the Bible teaches. Cohabitation is not in the Bible. But the culture says it's totally fine. It's no big deal. You got to try it out for a while to see if it's going to work. And all that really does is diminish marriage. Let me list off some of these to level the playing field, per se. What's God getting at here this morning to you and I as he speaks? And so we need to be aware of this, because this affects marriages, this affects people that are in the church, this affects young people in our society today. And so here's, I'm just going to reel this off, and you think, wow, all this is included? Yes, it sure is. Here's where it starts. There shall be no cohabitation, no premarital sex, no homosexual relationships, no hooking up on a one-night stand, no having casual sex whenever you feel like it's right with a friend, no incest, no sexual abuse, no rape, no bestiality. Bestiality is a term that says that you shall not have sex with another animal or being. There shall not be sexual relations outside of your marriage vows. You shall not practice an open marriage. I know of a couple that lives not too far from here that have an open marriage, and their rule is that you cannot have a boyfriend or girlfriend in your own zip code. And that's how they live. That is forbidden. Polygamy, also on the list. Now, here's the point. Not one of them is worse than the other. All sin. So God says. All are sinful in God's eyes. And God's saying to his people, I don't want you to live like this. This is chaos. This is crazy. You know the hurt that this is going to bring into your relationship and to your lives when you live like this? The guilt that you're going to have, the broken relationships that are going to come in, and it's going to look bad. And I'm sure they experienced it back then as well, with pagan Egypt and pagan Canaan. God said, I don't want my people to live like this. This is not what I intended intimacy to be for. And he meant it. Intimacy was designed by God. And if we go to the book of Genesis, I'm going to just lay a little bit of a foundation for you here this morning. It says that the two will become one flesh. I believe Genesis 2:18 and maybe verse 24 speaks of this. You are to enjoy one another inside the confines of that marriage relationship. It's used for, the Bible uses the word helper, right? A suitable helper is what he calls Eve, somebody that comes alongside, and you live life together. And then the third thing I want to bring up is that intimacy was intended for procreation. Have children, raise families, is what God commands us to do in the book of Genesis. Those are the three rules that are given. If we know that in order for us to live holy lives pleasing to God, we are to live within this context. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's Leviticus, Rob. That's Old Testament stuff. You know, we don't have a lot of those rules anymore. But I told you, all those rules are supported today in the New Testament as well. Go home and research it for yourself. Have those conversations. But for you and I, if we choose to follow God's law and live holy, pleasing lives to God, this is what he says. This is how I want you to live. And here's the hard part. When we choose to live this way, you and I are increasingly going to come against the culture. Always. It's going to stir something in you that you don't like, you don't feel good about. It's not right. And you know what I'm talking about. The culture has moved through radical changes in its view of sexuality. It'll come up against your moral values, and it will push very, very hard. And you need to be prepared for that. And you might think, well, why is that? And that's because the pagan world that you and I live in, they don't follow God's rules. They don't follow God's moral code. They don't follow God's holiness code for living their lives. They live on the outside of that. Don't expect them to live according to Scripture and to God's holiness code. Just like the Israelites. You and I are called to be different within this context. Now, parents, I want you to listen closely here this morning. Teach your children how to live a holy and pleasing life to God. And children out there, young adults out there, listen to your parents this morning. They know what's best for you. Have those age-appropriate conversations with your son or daughter. Teach them about God's design for intimate relationship inside the marriage vows and what that should look like and what it should never look like on the outside. Because if you don't, the culture will teach them. This morning, I was up early this morning, and I like to listen to Bot Radio, and there was a segment on there this morning, and it's kind of funny how God speaks and works, and there's two, a lady and a man, I'm not sure who they were for sure, but they're talking about both Christian people. There's a movement in our society right now to bring in a new type of material for sexual education into the classroom. And he says, you need to know that I can't even bring up the name of this book on this show because it's too nasty. And he says, you know what? 20 years ago, we thought that Playboy was bad. You ought to see this new material, how explicit it is, because everything, it gives diagrams and pictures of everything that you think's okay in a sexual relationship. And the list was long. Just not intercourse. Oral sex, all those types of things were talked about. And they want to put that into your classroom, into your school with pictures of how to do it. That's the pagan world we live in. You and I need to teach our children what that looks like. Otherwise, the culture will. Be prepared, families, for what is out there. Young people, older people, don't be just living together. Don't just be going around having intimate sexual relationships with each other before marriage. God forbids it. He says, this is sinful. You know where sin ends? If we don't repent of it, we don't turn from it, to hell. And if I stood up here and I sugarcoated to you this morning and said, oh, God's grace will cover all that, and you live with an unrepentant heart and you're living that kind of a lifestyle, I would do you a huge injustice. Because God calls us to repent of those sins. So let me bring you this next question. So how do we live in such a sharp disagreement with the cultural norms that we have today as Christians? That's a good question, isn't it? And it's not easy, but let's talk about some of those things. As God's people, we are called to be holy in our intimate behavior because of God's holiness. Husband and wives out there today, you are called to live within those confines. Your marriage bonds, your vows to each other. You're called to also put that on to display to the rest of the world of this is what it looks like. We are to be that great example that the world needs so, so bad. They need to see this. They need to hear this. But also, let me pause for a moment and make you aware of this. But we are never given a license to be anything other than loving to others. Whose job is it to condemn sin? God's. It's never ours. Now, the preacher might preach on truth of how the Bible says we should live, but it's God's job to condemn sin. That's his job. Your job is to love them forever who they are. Did you hear that? No matter what type of a relationship that they're in, some of you just took a hard swallow, didn't you? we must exercise great caution as a church and show deep compassion towards those whom we consider to be deviant or immoral, living outside God's law. Because, you know, in reality, we're all sinners, right? I mean, I can talk and go off on a whole other subject that's not about intimate relationships. And we can talk about how we sin in our lives and so on. But this is an area that I think people know they do it, they're aware of it, and they don't turn from it often. There's a difference there. And so here's something else that I want you to know and understand this morning. Now, I'm not saying that I don't support these types of relationships outside of God's holiness code. So hear me say that. Sin is sin. But this is how you and I should live. We are called to be people who are different in loving our neighbor. And the neighborhood was defined by Jesus as including everyone. Now, I didn't say I was affirming of those types of relationships, but you and I are called to love those people. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. When some of those types of relationships come against me, I get nervous, I get worked up, I don't like it, I don't say the right things. And I get that. You are probably the same way. And so I'm trying to work on that as a pastor when I come across those types of situations that our culture says are totally fine today. Because Jesus says, Rob, you need to love them. How are they ever going to know the truth if they don't ever get the opportunity to even visit with you and you put your wall up? That's a tough job. And it doesn't matter what kind of relationship I'm talking about. If it's a couple living together, or if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend that are living together, or if it's a homosexual relationship that either two women or two men are living together. God says your job is to still love them. Sin is sin. I don't care if they stole a package of bubble gum from the convenience store, or if they're sleeping with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Sin is sin. Your job is to love them. Your neighborhood is defined by Jesus, and that includes every one of us. So for some of this, these might cause us to have great pain in our lives. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend that you know that's living this lifestyle, whatever it may be. Remember, your job is to love them for who they are. But the effects, let me also tell you this. The effects of those types of sinful relationships, they cause separation. They drive people apart. Sometimes they even tear families apart. And this congregation is not immune to those things. They've all entered. And that's why I need to also preach what God says. God compares that these sinners who are unrepentant to vomit if they don't turn from those ways. But also take note that people who have committed any of these sins can be forgiven and fully restored. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. So maybe you find yourself in one of these relationships this morning, and you know this is where I fall off the rails in my life and I've sinned here. You got the chance to clean that up before God, before Jesus, when you just ask, God, forgive me for that sin. I know what I did was wrong, and I will stop doing it. You turn from it. You repent of it. And God says, I love you. I forgive you for it. You are my child. And he washes you white as snow. But if we don't do that, we live with that separation between us and God. So I encourage you today, get right with God in your life, especially in this area here. He calls us to live according to his teachings. And by all means, we don't get to make the rules. Our job is to live by him and what he's taught us through Scripture. And don't bend them, by the way. Sometimes we like to bend them, kind of make them fit our lifestyle a little bit. God says, no, that's not what I said. This is what I said. This is how I want you to live. And so our duty is to follow those rules that are spelled out for us. And may we be reminded, if we're going to truly follow God, He is holy, and He calls you and I to be holy. And so may your intimate relationships be holy as God has taught us. And all of God's people say, amen.